Welcome back to the Cold Seat Podcast, where the seats are cold and the takes are hot. Hope you're all having a great day. I know we're really excited to get this first mock draft going of the 2024 off season. So last year before, we've had some mock drafts. We've done them a few different ways. We're going to keep that rolling this year, where we're going to switch up the order, switch up the method that we do our mock drafts each week. But we do have six slated for y'all leading up to the week of the draft, the Monday before the draft starts. We're going to get these to y'all each Monday. This one's a little bit delayed, but starting next week, it'll be each Monday. Stay true to kind of that mock draft Monday. But for the most part, we're not going to talk about what our plan is for each one. But for the most part, it's going to be first rounders. We'll have a couple that are different, but we'll be hitting a first round most of the time. But I mean, six mock drafts, really excited. This one's going to be a one round mock where we're going to alternate. I think you have odds, I have evens. Really excited to get this going though. It's a lot of fun. It's probably my favorite thing that we do on the pod, and just going through each team, all 32 picks, talking about what their plan could be, could they move up, down, and who they're targeting. So it's a lot of fun, but I'm looking forward to getting it going.
This is my favorite thing that we do. I think everyone, you guys know that draft season is kind of my favorite season. Just all the stuff you get to do as someone who watches the draft and takes in the draft and all that stuff. It's a really good time. I'm pumped for this. I'm pumped to get to the first mock. I will say, usually we don't do trades. I talked about it yesterday when we recorded the receivers episode, which is up. Go give that a listen if you haven't. We're going to talk about a lot of those guys today. But I do think that today we should do a trade because Minnesota is going to move, right? So we can talk about when we get to four, have that conversation with whether to do four or five or whatever. But I've got odds. You have evens today. We'll flop next week, and then we'll kind of go from there on how we kind of want to do things, kind of play it by ear going forward, obviously, if there's any changes. Love to reflect those and do certain things to kind of take into account those changes. But I think we might as well. Actually, before we do the mock, we do want to do our announce. We want to announce any sort of rankings changes we've had. Obviously, we probably won't have any changes in the tackles, quarterbacks, receivers, because we just did those guys. But I know I have changes in the edge group. I've got changes kind of all across my board. I think a change in every single group, going back to safeties that we started out with, and then also we split up the interior offensive line into guards and centers this year. Thought it'd be a little more appropriate to do it that way, just given the kind of the nature of the group this year. So with that said, we can I'll go ahead and start with some of my changes real quick. I'll start with the safety group. We can just go by group, and then we can each give our changes that we have. Start with the safeties. I have Cam Kinchin sticks at two for me. Jaden Hicks jumps up into the rankings. He's jumping up there at three, just a guy that I didn't get to out of Washington State. So he drops Bullard down to four, and then Dadrian Taylor-Demerson to five. And Kalen Bullock drops out of my rankings, a guy who I was really disappointed by the combine. Not had a good pre-draft process. Guy that I couldn't keep in there given the process that other guys like DTD had had. He's had a great process, and the guy's only done made a lot of money for himself, especially with the combine, Shrine Bowl. So wanted to keep him in there, and really disappointed with what I saw throughout the process in Bullock.
Yeah, no, Bullock's still going to be my safety five for now. I just still think he's rangy, has all the tools to be successful at the next level. I think it'll take longer for him to translate those, but I still think he's a top five safety. Dadrian Taylor-Demerson is my six. Just missed out when I went back. I wanted to put him in my rankings, but I just couldn't. Based off his consistency of what he had done, he blew some coverages. He would occasionally be wrong spot, wrong time. So it was close. I don't know if I'll flop on those guys at some point. I wouldn't count on it now. But Bullock's my five. Javon Bullard is now my four, down from three because Hicks is now at three. Kinchins is staying at two, and Newbin is staying at one. So a little bit of change, but not much. Going on to tight ends real quick. Theo Johnson from Penn State, older guy. He was my six. He jumped Jaheim Bell and Cade Stover to go to four. Ben Sinnott moved from four to three for me from Kansas State. Just a versatile guy. He's an incredible blocker. He can, catch out of the backfield, pretty fluid in his receiving movements, his footwork, stuff like that. But those are my main changes for that. Now we'll get into linebackers real quick. So my linebackers now, Cedric Gray dropped from 4 to 5. Jeremiah Trotter dropped from 3 to 4. And Junior Colson dropped from 2 to 3 because I watched Peyton Wilson, incredible stat sheet stuffer. He played really high at everything he was doing. High levels, you know, full speed, a lot of tenacity to his game. I really liked what he put out there. Winning multiple awards this offseason for best defensive player, best linebacker. So, I mean, all the tools are there for him. I think the main concerns are injury history. He's torn his ACL twice. That's kind of been the main red flag for him, that and then just age. But he moved up to 2 once I watched him. So I initially thought he'd be 4 or so, but he's 2 for me. And Edgerrin Cooper is staying at 1.
Yeah, I'll quickly get into my tight ends. I think I jumped one guy up. Theo Johnson goes to tight end 4 for me. I think I had AJ Barner at tight end 5. So that drops Cade Stover to 5, but still got Sinnott at 2, Sinnott at 3, Sanders at 2, Bowers at 1. No changes there for me. Then at linebacker, Peyton Wilson jumps into the group. Jumps up to 2, all the way up to 2, drops Edgerrin Cooper down to 3. Trotter and Gray stay at 4 and 5 for me, and then Junior Colson's obviously still my 1. We get to the running back group. This is the entire group has changed, so I'm just going to go 5 to 1. Buck Irving comes in at number 5 for me after what was a disappointing combine, disappointing pro day. I guess I expect to be a disappointing pro day. Just wasn't a great process, and you go back and watch more of what Bucky does. Obviously, I didn't watch all 12 games he played when we did the first pass. And there are times when the size is a concern, then you do see more of the breakaway speed being a little bit of an issue for him, which is a little bit of a concern. I just don't know if he's going to be able to be a workhorse. The guy I have at 4 is Trey Benson. Lit it up at the combine. Expected him to run fast. I didn't think he'd run that fast, but I expect him to be pretty fast. So Trey goes to 4 for me. Braylon Allen goes to 3. Doing a lot of projecting with Braylon. I just think that the nature of his game and the uniqueness of it, he has to be at 3 for me. I got Jalen Wright at 2, out of Tennessee, a guy that I hadn't gotten to prior, but I knew I wanted to get to. And then Jonathan Brooks up to 1 for me.
Yeah, my rankings had a little bit of change. You know, Jonathan Brooks is still my 1. Trey Benson is still my 2. But Jalen Wright, checked him out from Tennessee, like you said, and he was really productive, really quick. I think him and Benson have similar games, but different body types. Bucky Irving is a great do-it-all back, but I don't know if it's going to stay consistent. I mean, he dropped from 3 to 4 for me, so not a huge drop. And then Braylon Allen, I do really, really like him. I think he's different than pretty much everyone else in the class, and I think that's a boost for him. And the age is a plus, too, being so young. He does have a good bit of collegiate carries, but just being so young, I think that gives him so much room to grow and better longevity at the next level. That's running backs. Few position groups left that we had changes. So first, interior defensive line. My number 1 is still Jazon Newton from Illinois. 2 is still Byron Murphy from Texas. And 3 is still Chris Jenkins from Michigan. Braden Fisk, I checked him out. I didn't watch him initially, but I watched him after. I didn't know if he would be in my rankings or not. I figured he would be just because of what he's done this offseason with a really good combine and a great Senior Bowl. But he went from, you know, unranked to 4, jumped to Fondre Sweat. I just think he's a more dependable guy in the middle at the next level. I think he can do more. I think Tavondre Sweat's more of a specialty guy, and I don't know if that's going to lead to him getting a ton of looks. So Sweat's still at 5 for me, and then Leonard Taylor from Miami is at 6. He was at 5, so he has fallen out of my rankings.
The exact same as you. Fisk went to 4, so I went to 5. Neither of us had really gotten to Fisk when we'd done the rankings, and then Senior Bowl happens. Get to the tape on him, then he goes to the combine and lights it up, and he's hard to ignore. And you go back and watch more tape, it's like, yeah, this guy's really good. You see it on tape, so. Older guy, which is kind of holds him back, what separates him and Jenkins, but I think they're both round 2 caliber players for sure. And then Sweat at 5 again. It's just Sweat's just he's a more role specific player. He's not an every down guy. And like you said, Leonard Taylor drops out. Same for me. So now we have guards and centers. So I'm just gonna run down my guards rankings. I said I was going to treat Troy Fontenot like I treated Peter Skoronski. I'm more confident that, like, I don't think he'd be a, like, I think a team's going to draft him and put him at tackle. Like, I think most teams will. But I think there could be a team that takes him and puts him at guard. So I'm going to keep him as my guard one. Because I think similar to Skoronski, he's going to be a really solid tackle, but he could be an elite guard in the NFL. Guy I have at two is Cooper Beebe. Christian Haynes out of Connecticut at three, Christian Mahogany out of BC at four, and then Mason McCormick out of South Dakota State at five. Combine Warrior hit an awesome week at the Combine, killed the agility numbers, which is, again, is huge for me. That's a huge, huge, huge thing for guards and especially centers, the agility numbers. He had really a really great Combine, great weekend, made himself a lot of money, and he dominated at South Dakota State. Like, he dominated the way you want him to. So, puts him there at five ahead of Zach Zinter for me personally.
Yeah, so I took Troy out of my guard rankings and put him in tackle as tackle four. But I think the fits for him, it's becoming more and more likely that he's going to be a tackle. If he is going to, you know, if a team takes him where they're going to have him a guard at least year one, then I'll probably switch it back just for the sake of the accuracy of my rankings. But I don't think he'll be a guard for long. I think regardless of where he goes, he's going to end up at tackle.
Like Tyler Smith.
Right. So I think he's not in my guard. So Cooper Beebe from Kansas State is my guard one. And then Christian Haynes from Connecticut at two, Christian Mahogany at three, Zach Zinner at four, and Mason McCormick at five. I was impressed with McCormick. I know he had a big offseason, which kind of increased his stock a little more, allowed people and basically forced people to go back and check him out. He's a big dude. I mean, he played, I think, every game at left guard this past season, so that's probably where he's going to be at the next level. He's great when he pulls, and he has really good vision. Those are the main things. But honestly, don't think he's as good as the guys ahead of him. But he does project well. It's just smaller school is a little tough, and I don't know exactly how good he's going to be at the next level, but and you got to love the small school guards. You know, we've seen it, whether guard or center, you know, Cody Mock, Quinn Miners, guys like that, that have this like cool vibe about them that you got to root for them and you want it to work out for them. But I think McCormick can be a really good player at the next level. We'll see how it translates from the FCS level. But centers pretty much stayed the same. I think just since we divided the list, my order's different because they're not blended with guards. But Jackson Powers Johnson at one, Graham Barton from Duke at two, who could also play tackle. He might play guard, so I'm just going to put him at center now because I think that's probably where he's going to play. Zach Frazier from West Virginia at three, Cedric Van Pran at four from Georgia, and then Bo Limmer from Arkansas at five. Just a huge guy that dominated in the SEC this year.
Yeah, similar group here. I've got Jackson Powers Johnson at one. I have Zach Frazier at two. Graham Barton at three. SVP, Cedric Van Pran out of Georgia at four. And then I have Tanner Bordellini out of Wisconsin at five. Had the three cone this year. Actually went back and watched him after his combine. I like his tape a lot. He's definitely a guy I think could use a year. Similarly to Limmer, I think after SVP, it's like, all right, maybe these guys could use a year, or they may not start right away, but they're gonna be really good players. I like Limmer's at six for me. I like Limmer a lot. I think he fits like the Chargers better. I just don't think he's like a, I don't know if he's gonna have a better projection than Bordellini, just given like the athletic profile. But Bo Limmer's awesome. He had a great combine too. I like Limmer a lot. Again, he's right behind Bordellini for me at six. The reason I flopped Frazier and Barton is because I think Zach is a better center. I just think Graham Barton will be ahead of him on my board by like one or two spots because he's got versatility at all five spots, which Zach doesn't have, which that's added value. And I think Barton would be a better guard. I'm not going to rank him as a guard. I'm going to rank him as a center. That's why I flopped him in just the center rankings. But on my big board, Graham Barton will be ahead of Zach Frazier, given because I'm going to have him as an offensive lineman on my big board. So that's kind of my thought process there. But yeah, similar rankings to yours. I just have Bordellini at five and Limmer at six, basically.
Yeah, which makes sense. You know, when you're talking about center five and six, it's really not a whole lot of difference. But just for the sake of getting a top five, Moving on to corners. I just had a slight change. Quinyon went from 5 to 4, and Kool-Aid went from 4 to 5. So just a flop there. I still feel comfortable about my top three in Terrien at 1, Nate Wiggins at 2, and Cooper DeJean at 3. I think Quinyon is going to be the second or third corner off the board, but I just think Cooper's a little more versatile, played better competition, and I like how he projects to the next level a little more. And then Kool-Aid, really productive, just fell victim not really being targeted that much this year just because of what he put on tape last year, but I think he can still be a really good pro, and he's probably going to go, you know, he's still going to be a top 40 pick, but he's probably going to be back a few picks around 1 if I had to guess. Would love for him to be a Raven, but we'll see how that pans out. But I feel good about my corner rankings for now.
Yeah, no, I didn't have any changes. I kind of flop back and forth on DeJean and Arnold 1 and 2. Ultimately, I stuck with Cooper because I think with corner, you're not just playing outside corner, you're playing inside corner, and you're able to move. And I think a team can be able to use Cooper as a, and he's not Jalen Ramsey, but like the way that Jalen Ramsey was used, where it's like, hey, you can move him inside the slot, you can keep him outside, you can match him anywhere with receivers, I think is a big part of what I like about Cooper. And I think Terrien can be that. It's just maybe not right away. He moved into the slot in college. I feel more comfortable doing it with Cooper because he did it more early in his career. But again, those guys are, I believe, like 8 and 9 on my board. So they're highly regarded players. They're almost equal to me. I will say on the corners real quick, Mike Sanders still has gone way up the board for me. He'll probably be a top 40 player. Not going to be a top 5 corner, but I'll probably have like 7, 8 corners in my top 40 to 45. It's a great class. Shout out to NSRA. Extra is going to be high on my board. I think he is a top 30 player for me right now. Sanders still will be up there as well. Guys of that nature, just in general, they're all going to be ranked pretty highly for me. Really good corner class, just deep corner class. It's good value at the back end of the first round corner. Getting to the edge defenders, I only have one small change. I just flopped Darius Robinson and Braylon Trice, so I got Robinson at 4, Trice at 5. I just was really disappointed. I didn't expect Trice to be a freaky athlete, but I was really disappointed with what I saw at the combine, and a little bit of the body language wasn't great, and I just think Darius will be a little more versatile for a team right away.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, I don't have any edge ranking changes, but Trice is probably my 6 or 7, and Darius is still sitting at 5 for me. So no changes there. No changes at quarterback or offensive tackle. And then obviously receivers came out yesterday, or I guess yesterday, today, depending on when you're listening. But
I got one. Mike's going to go to QB5 for me. I forgot to make that change, but Mike's going to QB5. Bo has done nothing right in this process. And I hate that for him, but like, dude, like it's been bad. Mike's process has just been better. For all the inaccuracy issues that you worry about with Mike, it's like, dude, Bo has been, it's been bad outside the organ. So that's all I really wanted to get in there. But
right.
And I think Penix could go ahead of him now at this point.
I do too. I mean, I'm looking at a team, maybe even around top 20, that could end up taking Michael Penix, as crazy as it sounds. You know, if we get quarterbacks 4 in the top 5, then that helps Penix in terms of, you know, how early he could be drafted. And I definitely think that's a possibility that we'll get to here right now, because that concludes our first rankings update. We will have maybe a couple alterations each week, but for the most part, that was the big rankings change. Just because it's been so long since we have talked about the rankings, that this was our first chance to touch on it without taking away time from other positional rankings episodes. But that's that. The rankings, like I said, will probably change a little bit, flip a couple guys here and there, but that'll primarily not be that long. But we are going to move to the first edition of Mock Draft Monday, a one-round mock. Like I said, you have odds, I have evens, so we'll each pick for our own teams for the second straight year. Chargers are odd, Ravens are even, and we'll get it rolling here with the Bears at the first pick that they acquired from the Panthers last year.
Caleb Williams, I'm not going to spend that long on it. It's easy. He's going to be the pick. I guess we can touch on it real fast because, you know, this first time, probably the last time we'll do it anyways. But Caleb is unquestionably the best quarterback in this class. It's not really close to me. I think he's in a tier of his own as a quarterback, and I think that the Bears know that. The Bears are going to take him. They traded Fields. They're going to sit there and take Caleb, and they're going to rejoice in that room. And there's really no reason you wouldn't take him over the other quarterbacks in the draft. So I think he's easily the pick, and I don't really think pick one is going to be a surprise going to draft night as it's been kind of the last few years at this point.
Yeah, I agree. I know we haven't touched on any of the free agency moves that have gone down. We'll touch on them in an episode later this week that'll come out. Just some of the big ones and our best fits, favorite guys going places and stuff like that. But yeah, it sure seems like Caleb's the lock to be the number one pick in for the last year. But I think we really knew when the Bears traded Fields to the Steelers this past week. I think that was when we first like truly knew that there was no chance they move out. There was no chance they take anyone else. They're going to stay, take Caleb at one. I have the Commanders here at two. Commanders, obviously disappointing year picking at second. They have a lot of needs, and they've made more moves than anyone in this offseason. They acquired vets like Bobby Wagner. They got
Austin Eckler.
Yeah, Austin Eckler, Tyler Biadasz, a lot of guys that have been around and have played at a high level at some point in their careers. And I know they've revamped their special teams and stuff like that, so they're building the right way. We'll see how it pans out for them. Obviously, they're not going to be competitive next year, but if they take the right quarterback here at two, then they could definitely be good, and that would help them build for a sustained window to where they can compete in the future. But at two, it's between Drake May and Jaden Daniels, both quarterbacks, and I've been back and forth. Something tells me they're going to like Jaden Daniels more, just a little more. Obviously a better runner, crazy speed, but I just think they can get his arm going. I know Drake has the better arm, but I think they will be able to coach Jaden. They have good coaching staff there for the most part, and it'll be interesting to see how they go about developing their rookie quarterback. But I'm going to go Jaden here too. I think they're going to really like him.
Is that what you think will happen, or is that what you would do? So I guess you're saying you think Jaden's going to be the pick?
Yeah, I do.
What would you do? I'm curious.
For Washington?
Yeah.
It's more so that I think Drake would be better in New England.
If you're Washington, I don't care about New England. Yeah. If you're Washington, who are you taking there?
I don't know. It's tough. I think they're going to like Jaden better. If it was me personally.
That's what I'm saying. If you're the GM, if you're Adam Peters, you're making the pick. I'm easily taking Drake. He's younger. He doesn't have I don't know. To me, it's Drake. He's younger. He's still ready right now. But again, I get the allure of Jaden. I understand it. I do.
Yeah. It's just,
I get it.
What he did this past season, I know he had great receivers around him, but it's just incredible what he did to SEC defenses all year. I think, Washington, a brand new regime from the top down, I think they're going to take a guy that put it out there this past year and, doesn't have any, main excuses as to why he played the way he did. So I'm going to stick with Jaden.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. Like I said, I get it. Jaden had an awesome year. Brings us to three with the New England Patriots. Taking Drake May. So here's the thing to me with New England. Everyone knows they're not moving the pick. They're not going to move the pick. They're going to sit there. They're going to take a quarterback. There's been a little bit of a weird, I don't want to say like infatuation, because that's not what I want to call it, but there's been this, a couple of people were like, oh, yeah, they're going to move out. And there was talk about it at the combine. And then we got to after the combine, and it's like, yeah, they're going to stick and pick. And I had a report yesterday that all three of the teams don't want to move out. They want to sit there and take a quarterback. So I'm going to take Drake May for the Patriots here. I think these three players are locked to be one through three. It just depends on what order between two and three. That's it. These guys are locked to go one through three, though. Nobody gets a four. I know this is Brett's pick, but we want to do the trade here.
Yeah, let's do it.
Yeah, let's do the trade here. So I'm calling Brett as Arizona as Minnesota. Now, from a trade value standpoint, 11 and 23 should right about equal four, but that's not how it works with quarterbacks. And I think Minnesota is going to have to trade Arizona is so here's the report that we got this morning. At least it wasn't like super, super public. This is a report that I heard this morning. Was that Arizona and the Chargers have talked to Minnesota about moving down, or I guess Minnesota moving up. Arizona wants more. The Chargers would probably take the offer that they are given right now. And that the Chargers have talked with Arizona about getting to four. We can explore that avenue later if we want. I think this is just a straight-up trade to four, because I think they have to get to four because the Giants met with JJ. They met with ownership, with leadership, head coach, so coaches, general manager, all that stuff. He met with them this past week, I think is what it was. There is real talk of the Giants trying to get to four. And the Cardinals can say, listen, we don't want to go to 11. You're going to need to sweeten the deal if we want to go all the way down to 11. We could just go to six and still get an elite blue chip receiver. So I think ultimately, I think it's 11, 23, and a one next year. And maybe Arizona sends a three back.
Yeah.
Like a three next year. What are your thoughts on that?
I like it. I think Arizona's going to push for 3-1s. And I think they could possibly get it. But like you said, that Minnesota's not going to want to lose three picks and get one. So I think they're going to want, you know, a third back.
And they don't have a two next year because they moved it to get 23. They don't have a two next year. So I think
if they move 3-1s, you could get a two back.
They could get a three. At this point, I think Arizona sends them a three.
I mean, it won't matter for the sake of this mock, but either way, I think Arizona will end up with three firsts from this deal.
Yeah.
Just because of the positional value, because of what the board looks like and stuff like that. So I do think, Arizona's in a great position here. If we carry out the trade, Minnesota will pick at four, and Arizona will now have pick 11, 23, and 27 that they acquired from Houston when Houston wanted to trade up to get Will Anderson. So three picks for Arizona in the first, which is great for a team that has a ton of needs. So I think this is a no-brainer move for the Cardinals. I'd be really excited if I was a Cardinals fan having four picks or three picks in the first 27. And I know you'd have three fifth-year options and stuff like that. And if they pan out, you assume two of them will pan out, that, you know, the contract situation gets a little dicey 4 or 5 years down the road with all those guys being up at the same time. But it's tough because, like I said, Arizona does have a lot of needs, and I'll let you get to Minnesota here in a sec, but they do have a lot of needs. And I think having three picks will help them build quicker. And I know it's tough passing on Marvin Harrison Jr. And a slew of other really good players that could fit them, but they're in a good spot at 11. And like I said, three picks, they have no reason not to hit on two of them.
So do you want to do this way? Do you want to take Arizona at 11, or do you want to take Minnesota at four? I don't care if you want to throw, I can take Minnesota. Usually what we would do in a trade, we did it last year, right? Is if the trading, like if I trade up with Brett, I then make the pick. Do you want to stick with that? Or do you want to take this? Cause this is going to be chalk.
Right.
It's up to you.
Yeah. I'll say we pick for the team we traded for. So you would make this pick.
Okay. It's me, JJ McCarthy. I mean, it has to be. They're moving up for quarterback. He's the only one that I would consider, you know, taking in the top. I mean, I wouldn't take him in the top five, but this isn't what I would do. Right. This is, you know, what's going to happen. And I think JJ McCarthy's going to go here. at four.
Yep.
Because they have to get a quarterback, and they've made it clear that that's what they want to do. And I do think this trade ultimately is what happens. And I think it'll probably happen. It'll probably happen. I think I said to you by April 20th. I think that's what I said.
Yeah.
In a calendar. I think I said April 20th was when I think it would happen by. So given that, again, I think this Arizona takes the picks and goes back, and McCarthy goes at four with the Vikings. I'll let you get any commentary before we get to the next one here.
I think it makes sense for Minnesota, obviously. Getting that extra first from Houston was, I think, the main driving factor as to why people are thinking they're going to go up and get a quarterback, which makes sense. They lose Kirk Cousins to the Falcons, and they don't have an answer at quarterback, and they have really good offensive pieces around, but you need a quarterback in this league, and I think that would be a good spot for JJ. I think, you know, Kevin O'Connell, they would do a great job developing JJ there, low moving costs, and I think it makes all the sense in the world for JJ to go there, because I don't think you'll be able to get him if you sit and pick at 11 just because of other teams that are going to be wanting to move up.
And if we were talking about this 2 weeks ago, like, yeah, they would just sit and pick and see if they can get him, but they didn't trade for 23 to hear their name called twice. They didn't do that. All right, that's not what happened. So they go up to four. This next one's easy. The Chargers are going to take Marvin Harrison Jr. at five. This was even more so solidified for me when I heard that they were trying to get that they talked to Arizona about flopping at four, which could ultimately almost be a three-team trade. Like, I honestly think it could end up being like a three-team deal where LA goes to four and they send Arizona, like, I don't know, a four or a three. It's probably just one of the fours a four they got it for in the Keenan trade, and then they maybe send them a four next year. It wouldn't take much, especially if Arizona's getting compensated for the go down to 11, and then Minnesota sends the picks to Arizona. I don't know. It's something along those lines, right?
Yeah.
But I think ultimately the Chargers sit there at five. You don't trade Keenan Allen, the greatest receiver in the history of the team, without a plan to replace him. And I don't think they're bringing Mike Williams back. I don't know. I don't think they're going to sign Tyler Boyd. And even then, like, that's still a bottom five receiver that they're going to run out there. You draft Marv at five, and you walk away with the best player in the class at number five overall, and you walk away with a guy who's going to be, I think, a perennial All-Pro. And I think you can feel like you upgraded at receiver, at least player for player.
Yeah.
Maybe not this year because Marv's a rookie and Keenan's, but I think in 2 years you can say you upgraded, and I think also that's what they'll do. Joe Ortiz is smart. He's going to take the best player on the board. And that here is Marvin Harrison Jr. It's pretty easily Marvin Harrison Jr. They get their receiver and they move on, and they, you know, I'd totally happy if they went back and they traded back with Minnesota and they got 11 and 23. I'd be thrilled with that. It'd be great. I do think in that scenario, and we'll talk about it when we get to 8 and 9 here. Cause Arizona might pick up the phone, but I think Marv goes at five in this scenario. I think this is how it plays out on draft night. I do think this is what happens. So these are the first five players, maybe even in this order. So I think this is how it goes.
Yeah, I like it. Makes a lot of sense here with the Chargers taking the best player available that just happens to fit a need now. You know, cutting Mike Williams, trading Keenan Allen, it makes a ton of sense. Picking at five and moving on to six here with the Giants. You know, there's a chance they could go quarterback, but with the top four guys gone, they're going to opt for Malik Nabers here, receiver from LSU. I don't think there's really another direction they could go. I think this makes a lot of sense. They need another receiver. You know, assuming Daniel Jones is going to be quarterback this year with how the picks shook out, I don't think they can, like I said, really go another direction. So it's going to be Malik here. Just an incredible season this past year at LSU. And yeah, he can instantly come in and be a wide receiver one.
I mean, he's the third best player in the class to me. He's a special, special talent. And I think ultimately, if the Giants don't go quarterback, and I think they want to, I just think they're in a predicament right now of how do they get to four with a better offer.
Yeah.
So I think they ultimately, they take Malik here. I think that would happen. I think if that's kind of how it plays out, they go with Malik here and they try and run it back with Daniel Jones and they figure it out next year. I do wonder if they could trade back here and try and accrue a pick for. I don't know who would move up. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know who moves up and sends them a future right. one. Because I think the goal would be like, hey, can I move down, get a future one, and stockpile for next year so I can get a quarterback, right? That's kind of what I'm thinking here. But I think you're right. I think they go at six. They sit there, take Malik Nabers, and the receiver room gets a lot better. Malik's a special player. He's an absolute stud. So Tennessee Titans here at seven. I'm going to go with Joe Alt, tackle out of Notre Dame. Comes in and plays left tackle for him, and they have one of the best left sides in the entire NFL with Joe Alt at left tackle, Peter Skoronski at left guard, and they've got a real real foundation there for Will Levis. I thought this was a receiver 2 weeks ago, and then they went out and signed Calvin Ridley to a big contract. So I think they ultimately take Joe Alt here, and they take advantage of the depth of the receiver class, and they take one at 37, I think, or 38. Wherever their pick is, I think is what they do.
Yeah, I really like it. Alt going here at seven to the Titans. He's my third ranked player right now. And yeah, I think he has all the tools to be an incredible tackle at the next level. And, you know, playing left tackle for the Titans, neat O-line, a younger team that's trying to build up, you know, brand new quarterback, brand new running back. And while they have, you know, a good receiver core, they have a ton of young pieces outside of that. So they need to build up in the trenches and maximize, you know, Levis' skill set and give as much time as possible. So putting Alt with Skoronski would be huge.
So you got Alt over the two receivers.
I do.
All right. We have the same group of five guys in top five. I just have the receivers, the both of them stacked ahead of Joe, and you've got them right behind. Hey, that's respectable. Joe's a stud, dude. He's an awesome player.
Yeah, I mean, I think his ceiling is, I mean, Joe Thomas, you know, not from like a longevity or whatever, because I know it's so tricky with especially offensive tackles and injuries and stuff like that. But from a talent standpoint, from a production to a, you know, lack of mistakes, I don't think there's really any way you can go wrong with taking all wherever. If he falls past seven, I'd be shocked if I didn't see someone try to come up and get him, whether that's the Jets or, you know, someone else. I don't know really who else, but the Jets primarily, I think they should come up and try to get him just because of how special I think he is at the next level. But eight here with the Falcons. They traded Desmond Ridder for Rondale Moore, and they also signed Darnell Mooney. They still have Kyle Pitts, Bijan Robinson, and Drake London. So I think the pick here is defense. When I look at the defensive side of the ball in the draft, there's a lot of intriguing players. I know they.
Question. Would Arizona move up for this pick to take Roma Dunze? Because he might go at nine.
Yeah, I don't know. If I'm Chicago, I would take an edge rusher, but I get with them taking a Dunze.
I'm just saying, Keenan's a rental, I think. And he could be a rental.
Yeah.
All I'm saying, or they could just take – they can't take Bowers. They just signed another tight end. But, like, maybe they don't have to move down because they traded for Keenan, but, like, is there a team that wants to get up ahead of them for something? I don't know if it is. I don't know if there is, right. But or maybe it's to get ahead of the Jets, right? Maybe that's a conversation at nine, but I just want to throw that out there because I think this is a thing that could happen for the Cardinals or the Chargers to get up because the Cardinals need a receiver and they need one. They traded Rondale to Atlanta and they let Hollywood walk. So I think they need a receiver. That's the only reason I bring it up because I think if Atlanta wants an edge rusher, they can maybe get one. At 11,
that's fair. Yeah,
but yeah, I don't know what kind of that looks like.
Yeah, I'm not sure in terms of like positional value, because I feel like if Arizona is going from 11 to 8, that Atlanta's going to know what they want or know why they're trading up. And so when you look at value, going from 11 to 8 is the difference in 150. So you can probably give them, what, 71, which is 240. So we could do.
Or does Atlanta just sit there and take edge one? Because you're right, they may not be able to get edge one at 11. So does that conversation maybe happen with the Bears at 9 then?
Right, but I think if Atlanta goes from 8 to 11, sitting at 11, knowing they're going to go corner or edge regardless, I think they'll be comfortable there either getting edge 1 or 2 or getting corner 1. So yeah. I think they'll be fine. So, yeah, let's do that trade.
Where does it? Who's more likely to move back and pick up the phone, Atlanta or Chicago? That's the real question.
Yeah, I mean, I think Atlanta is. Just because I think they are more set. And when you look at defense, just with the way this draft is, I think they're less likely to go offense in comparison to Chicago. So,
Okay, we do this.
I'm going to go 11 and 71 to Atlanta for 8.
Okay. All right, let's do it.
We're going to flop the two teams.
And this is still your pick.
Yeah. So at 8 with the Cardinals, I'm going to go Roma Dunze, my wide receiver 3 from Washington. Ike, that would be a great fit for him. When you look at what they need, they no doubt need a receiver, but I think trading back and still being able to get a wide receiver 1 is huge for them.
Absolutely. And they have the plenty of capital to do it. They have all the capital in the world to do it. So it makes a lot of sense for them. Sitting with Chicago at 9, and this is really where the pick isn't obvious to me. Would have been Bowers last week, and then they signed Gerald Everett, traded for Keenan. So, and it's hard. I'm gonna look at their depth chart because that's something that's gonna matter in me looking at it here. Because they have Sweat. Question is, do they go edge or do they go defensive line?
Yeah, I mean, I think either way, you can't go wrong. But just with positional value, yeah, I think you have to go edge 1.
I don't think edge and defensive tackle are that far off anymore. And they are, but they're not that far. I think they go Dallas Turner. I think you're right. But does Eberflus think he can find like a Defoe? Like a DeForest Buckner here.
Yeah.
Granted, Buckner was huge. He is huge. And Murphy and Jerzon are not. So I'll go Dallas Turner here. Gives him a great edge-rushing duo. And I think you can make it work with the interior, given the fact you have a really good linebacker. Or not really good, but you have solid linebackers here. So I'll go with Dallas Turner at this spot. Edge 1, to me, I believe right now he is at... on my board is Dallas at. Dallas is at 11 on my board, so not that big of a reach, like talent-wise. I don't think Chicago's going to sit there and be happy with the fact they got Dallas Turner. Because they really like their left tackle, so they're going to stick with that guy.
Pass rusher is definitely in need for Chicago. They spent their second on one when they traded for Montez Sweat, and they're going to spend their latter first rounder on one here in Dallas Turner. Think that'd be a really good pairing for those guys and for that defense who is building up. They have some they got Tremaine Edmonds and TJ Edwards last year. Jaquan Brisker's a solid safety. Kyler Gordon's not bad there at corner. And they're starting to build up their roster the right way, I think. Obviously still more than a few holes, but doing it the right way here. 10 with the Jets. This is a very interesting pick as they now have Tyron Smith at left tackle, John Simpson at left guard, and Morgan Moses at right tackle. Doesn't seem like I don't know really why they targeted tackle in free agency or really O-line as a whole because of how the tackle class is and where they're picking. It was a little confusing. I don't know what direction they want to go now, given what their roster looks like and who's on the board. Like, honestly, I have no idea what direction they should go. You could still, it wouldn't make sense, but I don't know. This is tough because they just have, I mean, obviously they have needs, but I don't.
Ours? Because they just took Tyron Smith, and I think, I mean,
He's going to start left tackle. Yeah.
I mean, Tyler Conklin? Come on. This is not stopping you taking Brock Bowers. That's all I'm saying. They could go a lot. It's going to be tackle or receiver. That's what I think. Or, I guess, sorry, tackle or pass catcher, my bad.
Right. It's tough because their defense is good for the most part. I don't think they would go corner. I don't think they would go edge rusher. They took Will McDonald in the first last year, so it doesn't really make a whole lot of sense. I think, let's see, they have Conklin and Jeremy Ruckert. I don't know what their plan is at tight end because they have four tight ends, it says. And I don't. I don't know why they targeted tackle because this makes this a tough pick now. And I don't know if they're hoping someone falls to them or what, but and the only option that jumps out, I don't know.
If it's Fuaga or it's Bowers. Because you're taking a right tackle now. You're not moving Olu or Troy. I think you're taking Bowers or you're taking Fuaga. That's the decision here.
All right, let's go Bowers.
Yeah,
he can.
I like it.
He doesn't have to be a Y at all times. He can play in the slot, do a little more for him because their pass catching room isn't great, and it'll give some guys more opportunities to make sure you're getting the best receivers out there. But him and Garrett Wilson. Two versatile guys who can, line up in multiple alignments, multiple personnel. And I think you can make it work, for those guys and give Aaron, a really good tight end and a guy that kind of does it all.
Mm-hmm. You got 11. You get 11 and 12. So you're on a roll.
All right, here we go. Falcons at 11. I'm going to go Jared Verse here. I love Verse to the Falcons. I think it makes a lot of sense for them. Versus such an incredible player. One of my guys in the class, he could have came out last year, went back to school, and, declared this year, and his stock remained about the same, which is big. And it was kind of just a dominant force on that Florida State defense. And, older guy, went to Albany out of high school, didn't, just put up crazy numbers there, and then didn't really know what he wanted to do for a year. Stayed there for 3 years and then went to Florida State and just destroyed everyone now the past 2 years. So I'm going to go Verse to the Falcons here at 11.
Over a corner.
Yeah.
I think it's fine. They need an edge rusher more than to do a corner. I don't hate the defensive backfield there. So I think that's what they want to do is get a corner. And if they like Verse just as much as they like, Turner, then they're fine to take him there. You still got Denver here at 12, but anyone that wants to come up for a tackle, probably because you're not moving up for a corner.
Right.
I just think Denver wants to move out or they just sit here and take a quarterback. It's up to you.
I think from what I've heard, they really like JJ McCarthy. So with him being gone, I think they're willing to listen to trade back offers. I don't know who would want to move up. I know the Bengals really need a tackle. I think they have Orlando Brown, but they could really use a right tackle. They lost Jonah Williams, who never really was the answer at tackle, but they could trade up and take Fuaga here, and I think that would make a ton of sense for him. I don't know if they want to, you know, sit and wait and see if they can trade up a couple picks later, or hope he falls to him. But I don't think he's going to get to 18. So if I'm Cincy and I want Talisa, I want to get up there and make sure I get him. So I'd be thinking the Bengals go from 18 to 12 for Fuaga.
I like it. What's the comp on that one, I think? Let's see.
Let's see.
Got the trade value chart here.
18 to 12 is 300.
Basically a 3. So you're
probably 49.
Yeah, 49.
So 18 and 49 for 12. Yep. That makes sense. We will push that through. Cincinnati moves up from 18 to 12 to get their right tackle of the future. And, yeah, I mean, him and Orlando Brown, that's a solid tackle duo. I know Orlando's a better right tackle, but he's, you know, adamant on being a left tackle. And I think with Talisa going to right tackle, Orlando can mentor him a lot, as, you know, Talisa's a little more raw. Coming out, similar skill set to Orlando, obviously different body types, but very similar skill sets, more of a run-blocking savant than, you know, a pass blocking guy that's going to drop back 40 times or, you know, take 40 pass sets and, you know, win most of them. I think both of them lack in the pass game. And I think with what Orlando has learned in his 7 years in the league, or six, I think will be huge for Fuaga in terms of his development. So I think that's a really good fit for him. And, as much as I would hate to see him go to Cincinnati, I think 18 and 49 for 12 is a really good trade and a really good move from Cincinnati.
Yeah, I mean, it's a great move. I do think that definitely something that could happen. I do wonder if they end up getting Cincinnati gets like a four back just to even out the trade value. But regardless, I think it's a good move. They get Fuaga. Guy that, again, future left tackle or right tackle for him. And a great player. I think he's a super, really super, super unique. I don't want to say unique player because it makes it sound bad. But he's unique in the sense that he's just so powerful, man. He's so powerful. And I don't think there's a lot of bad in his game. It's just there's maybe a little bit of limited athletic upside, but he's a great player. Right. If Cincinnati gets their right tackle of the future. I'm up here with the Bengals at 13. Sorry, the Bengals. The Raiders at 13. And I think this is so they're a weird one. I don't think they go defensive line because they just signed Wilkins. They need a quarterback, obviously. They could use an offensive lineman. They just don't need a left tackle. So I think both the tackles are out of play here. I think they go corner. I think they're going to go Terry Arnold because he'd be the first corner off the board. I do think about Quinn Young because his RAS was so good. But I'm going to go Terry on here to the Raiders at 13. They got a corner. It's a future pick too, so it's a forward looking guy. Guy's going to get better. You're betting on the upside with Terry Arnold on the top 15. So I'm going to go with him here at 13 with the first corner off the board.
Yeah, I like it. I mean, obviously. You know, you probably know how poor the Raiders have been at drafting, especially in the first round over the last 5 years or so. So this is a great pick for them here, a team with a lot of needs. And I think this is just a great fit and should really pan out for them. I think Tarion's a great player. And yeah, we're here at 14. New Orleans Saints are on the board with their own pick and looking across the board. In terms of thinking of what they want to do, a team that could go multiple different directions. They've once again been in cap hell for the most part, and I think all the moves they've made have opened up opportunity and directions that they can go here at 14 with their first pick. What's his name? Michael Thomas is gone. They have Chris Olave, who they took a couple years ago. Cedric Wilson, I believe they signed. And then Rashid Shaheed, who is, you know, a deep ball guy, doesn't really have a ton of skill sets to his game. I mean,
they like him a lot, though. I know that.
They do. also value on special teams. So part of me wants to say Brian Thomas Jr., but also they do need a left tackle. Trevor Penning has not panned out as I guess they were the only ones that thought it would. They just signed Chase Young. They signed Willie Gay this offseason. So they're pretty well set on the defense, I think, just with the way the board is, the top two edges gone. I don't know if they want to go Latu over Olu from Penn State. So I'm going to go Olu so he can play left tackle there. And then Penning probably be your sixth man. Could play guard, but they're honestly fine at guard for now. So I think Olu's the pick for New Orleans at 14, assuming he's there, obviously.
Yeah, I like the pick for New Orleans with Olu. That's exactly where I would have gone with them. It's a good find. It's a good fit. They need a left tackle. Definitely would have thought a little harder on Troy, but again, it's a matter of they really need a guy who can just play tackle from day one. They're not winning right now, so they can let Olu kind of develop and get better. So I like that one a lot. Here at 15 with the Colts, and I'm pretty sure of what I want to do here. I just want to check one thing. I'm going to go with Quinyon Mitchell here.
All right. Although, I like it.
So I'm between Quinyon and Cooper. Quinyon's got freakish athleticism. So does Cooper. But Chris Ballard might prefer Quinyon, you think?
I think so, too, because they have a really good nickel in Kenny Moore. Which is in part of what Cooper can do. And then they also have a corner last year that panned out really well for him in Juju Brents. So I think Quinyon playing that outside corner, I think, is huge. I think that'd be a great fit for them.
Yeah, I just think Quinyon is going to be a guy that Ballard likes a little bit more. So that's kind of why I go with him here. I would take DeJean over him for sure, but I think ultimately Quinyon goes ahead of him in Indy because he's just – They love the freak athlete there. I mean, they love it. They love him.
Yeah, I really like that pick. That's a great pick, great fit. 16 here with the Seattle Seahawks, about halfway through here of the first cold seat mock. Seattle, I mean, obviously a great year or a great start to the year. Didn't really pan out or concluded how they thought it might. Nonetheless, going a different direction with head coach. They lose a few guys, and they're looking to just keep building up that roster. I know they cut a lot of guys on defense, but they do have a good bit of needs. They have needs at interior offensive line, both at center, guard, but they also have a need. Hold on, my stuff just shut down. They also have a need at safety. I don't know. It's a little early for Newbin. I think they can get him in the second round, but I think they consider it. But just with the way they like to build, I think Jackson Powers Johnson should be the pick here. Center from Oregon. It fits a need. It fits a culture and low moving costs again. So I think it makes a lot of sense for them. And I think this is JPJ's ceiling here in the draft.
I love the JPJ picture. That's probably where I would have gone. Would have thought about an edge maybe, but again, do they take Latu? And then maybe it's after that's like, I don't know if there's an edge worth taking here. So I like the Jackson Power Johnson pick a lot there. You psyched because I was going to take him here potentially. But I guess the Jags, didn't they just sign a center? Yeah, signed Mitch Morse. Never mind. Yeah, he's going to start for them.
They did. Yeah.
And the Jags are a confusing one, brother. I'll tell you what. They're a group that just they cannot seem to just build correctly, can they? What did they sign Ronald Darby for?
2 years, 8 mil. 2 years, 8.5. Something like that.
Okay. I'm gonna go with Cooper DeJean, I think here. Or do we go with a defensive tackle? No, they just on opposite. We're going DeJean. Yep. Going Cooper.
I like DeJean. That.
Most versatile guy. Play inside, outside, all of that stuff.
Yeah, I think it makes a lot of sense. Jacksonville, obviously needing a few more DBs. You can never have enough DBs, especially in today's game, just with how pass happy the league has become. You can go into a team, they have, Tyson Campbell. They signed Darby to a short-term deal. I think DeJean can kind of do it all, just get a ton of snaps out there and fill wherever's needed on, matching up whatever the offense is doing. So I think it makes a lot of sense for them. And yeah, go with that pick there. Denver with Cincy's pick is up here at 18. They could go a few different directions. I know they traded Jerry Jeudy to the Browns. Cortland Sutton is the pretty much their only receiver. Tim Patrick is good. I think from a need standpoint, Brian Thomas Jr. makes sense, but from a skill set standpoint, it doesn't make the most sense. But with him being here, if they don't take a receiver here, just with who's still available on the market, it's not looking too great. I know they don't have really a plan for quarterback, but even if they wanted to take Penix here, and I think it's a possibility, I don't see how they don't take Brian Thomas Jr.
I was gonna say that's where I was gonna go with this was BTJ.
Yeah, I mean, it, like I said, from a skill set, it's not the best fit, but from a need standpoint, just how many receivers you need. I know they like Marvin Mims, but he's primarily a specialist. But Tim Patrick, Courtland Sutton, Brian Thomas, and this does maybe you start getting some calls about Sutton after this pick. And if you get an offer good enough, maybe you pull the trigger. But regardless, you have Sutton and Brian Thomas Jr. in-house for next season if you want it. So I think it makes a lot of sense, and I like the fit for Denver.
That's great. I mean, if you hadn't taken him here, I was going to have someone trade up and get him at 19 because the Rams will move back for sure.
Yeah.
I'm going to go Byron Murphy here. Pretty easy. They
All
need a
right.
defense tackle. AD just retired. Johnny's the better player, I think, right now, but they're going to bet on the upside with Byron. I think the ultimate that's what they do at 19 here. If he makes it to him, he could go earlier than this, though.
Right, yeah, I like that pick. I think one of the two D tackles would be there for him at 19. If they stick and pick, I don't know who it's going to be. Like you said, we don't really know who's going to go first for now, just in terms of who's going to like who better. But 20 with the Steelers. Steelers are a team that I think overperform most years, exceed expectations just based off what their roster looks like. Because honestly, the roster isn't that great. Signed Russell Wilson on a vet minimum deal because Denver's paying the rest of that. Justin Fields traded for now the backup. So they're set at quarterback for this season. I don't know. I think they're pretty upset that Brian Thomas Jr. went, but I still think there's a chance they could take a receiver here. I don't think they will. In this mock, I think they are wanting to go corner. I think corner makes a lot of sense for him. I know they got Joey Porter Jr. at the top of round two last year, but I'm going to go Nate Wiggins here. I know he doesn't necessarily fit the Tomlin culture, but I think you get a great cover guy opposite Joey Porter Jr., and I think they'd be really well set in a division that's loaded now. Just continues to play, have great offenses in that division, and they're going to need all the defensive help they can get. And I think with the top two edges gone, and they don't have an edge need, I think they should go corner here. And that makes the most sense to me. I know there's a few other options. I think they could go Fatanu, but I just don't know if they're going to want to go him over corner, because if you don't go corner, it's not as deep as tackle.
Yeah, no, it makes sense. I thought I want Troy. I was gonna ask you if you looked at him here. So I'm up with the Dolphins here at 21. Is it Newton or is it Fatanu? Because it's gonna be Troy if I'm going tackle or offensive line. Because here's the thing, Teron Armstead doesn't have much longer in the NFL, and they could put Troy similarly to what the Cowboys did with Tyron Smith and Tyler Smith. The Fal or the Falcons, the Dolphins could do with Troy and Teron Armstead. See what I'm saying?
Yeah, I get what you're saying. I don't.
Or do they
They just
replace?
re-signed.
Replace? Go ahead.
They re-signed Isaiah Wynn yesterday. I don't know if they want to go tackle now, whether he's going to play tackle or not for him right now. I don't know if they want to go now. I think the pick should be Jerzon Newton. They lose Christian Wilkins. They have a need in that middle of the defense, and I think that should be a pick because I think it's a really good fit, and it fills a need.
My only thought is they lose Robert Hunt, and I figure Wynn slides in at left at right guard for him. And then I think Austin Jackson's playing right tackle. They have Isaiah Wynn playing left guard. Problem is, it's like it's just value with the position, like with the.
Right.
I think I'm gonna go with Troy, because I think ultimately that's a bigger need for them. I know they lost defensive tackle, but they can probably get one in round two that can play.
Mm-hmm.
I think with how Mike McDaniel wants to run that team, they're gonna take Fatone, I think.
All right. Oh, I love Troy. I think he's a great player. Disappointed that he's not falling to the Ravens, but still makes sense for Miami. I think that's a team that, you know, lost a lot of guys to big contracts and free agency and can go a few different ways here, like we were saying. So Troy at 21 to the Dolphins. Moving on to 22 here, we have the Eagles, who have lost a few guys, signed a few guys, as most teams do. But honestly, kind of a down year from Howie Roseman. Some of the contracts he's given out, some of the decisions he's made haven't been up to par for him out of the past couple of years.
See how it pans out, though. I think Howie's a little overrated as a holistic GM. He's a great drafter. I don't think Howie is as good as he gets credit for, is my point.
Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, he had a few really good off seasons, and outside of that, I feel like he hasn't done a whole lot. Obviously, like drafting Hurts, drafting Devontae Smith, those have been good picks, trading for A.J. Brown. But outside of that, like you said, he hasn't done a whole lot. He's kind of just made the easy pick in most drafts. Not sure what direction they would want to go here. I know they have a few needs with the way the board's shaken out. They could go a few different directions. You look at receiver and the top four gone, so it's a tough spot for them there. I know they want another guy. I just don't know who they would like. And then you also could also look at O-line, and it seems like they're fine at O-line right now. Lane Johnson is still the right tackle. I think Mulata's left, and then with Kelsey retiring, Cam Jurgens is now going to fill in for Kelsey at center. They just extended Landon Dickerson, and they have Dallas Goedert. Signed Saquon. I think they're pretty well set offensively. I don't know if I want to go offense for them now, just because of how poor their defense looked last year with the guys they had. I don't know now what direction they want to go on defense, but I know they like Hassan Reddick. I'm thinking Latu. I think that would make sense. I don't know if they would want to go.
They just took Nolan Smith.
They did, but I don't know if they want to go corner here, given that Kool-Aid's the best on the board.
Well, I mean, Howie would die before he took a corner in the first round, so it doesn't even matter. I get Jalen Carter was there, but like, and he probably shouldn't have been, but like, we always talk about like they have to take a corner. I gotta take a corner, and then they just don't. They don't take one. So, and they shouldn't have taken JPJ, Joey Porter Jr. over Nolan Smith last year. They didn't.
Yep.
I think Amarius Mims is the pick here. That's what I think.
You think they would go with him?
I think they would love to get him with Stoutland. I imagine Jeff Stoutland, when they bring up Amarius Mims in the war room, he's the Stephen A. clip. don't get me salivating and fantasizing about things. That you know what I'm talking about? That clip?
Yeah.
If that brother had a few more inches, oh Lord. That's what I'm talking about. This an elite Stephen A clip, by the way.
Uh-huh.
That's what I imagine Jeff Statland is when they bring up Amarius Mims' tape in the draft room.
Yeah, I mean, super athletic, primarily right tackle. I think Eagles put him at right guard probably. At least off the bat.
I think he sits for a year. I literally just think he doesn't play. Because they have no problem taking a guy and sitting him. They did it with right. Nolan. They did it. They just did it with Jalen.
How bad their defense was.
Listen, I don't disagree with you, but like it's not what we would do. This is like what would Howie do, and I don't think Howie would take a corner, even though he should. And I don't know if he takes an edge. Because they're gonna have to move away from guys. I think they have to go with it. I just think they'd go tackle. I think they're gonna stock up and because Lane can retire next year, and they may not want to pay. I don't know when I can never pronounce their left tackle's name. I just don't know when his contract is up.
Mailata?
You know what I mean? Yeah. Oh yeah, Jordan Mailata. I'm thinking of somebody else. Yeah. When is his contract? When is it up? All that stuff. And right. I ultimately think that this is where I think they go Mims, honestly.
Yeah,
if you want to go with an edge, that's fine.
I don't – like I said, their defense is really bad. I would be going defense, but in terms of, like you said, just, you know, looking back historically at what they've done, directions they've gone with the roster they've had – I think it makes sense. I mean, yeah, you effectively lose an alignment this past offseason, even though you had a replacement. And so that, in turn, decreases the depth that you have. So I think Mims would make sense. I think they would like Mims more than Latham. And I think they can groom him with two really good tackles ahead of him. Kind of, like I said, groom him to be the next, right tackle of the future, assuming Lane retires in the next year or two. And see how that goes. So we'll go Mims, trying to do what we think front offices are going to do. So we'll go Mims there at 22. And then, the Cardinals are on the clock now with the pick they just got from Minnesota.
Cleveland to Houston to Minnesota to Arizona.
Yeah.
Because originally from Cleveland, I think that's still in the Watson trade, I believe, still. And so for the Cardinals here, they have a pick at 27. They can do a lot here. I'm gonna look at their depth chart and I look at the. And are these all new? They just signed Justin Jones. He's a defensive tackle. I think they go Liatu Latu here because I think they can wait on him. This is hard, dude. They go Latu?
Probably, yeah. It makes sense.
Let's go
Latu. Need an edge.
Yeah, they do need an edge. We'll go Latu.
All right. Latu at 23 to the Cardinals. Dallas at 24, a team that really hasn't made any moves this offseason. They released Michael Gallup. They lost two O-linemen. I mean, you'd think they'd have to go O-linemen, whether that's Latham or Guyton, or even Barton. I think all three of those guys would make sense for them. I don't know what other direction they would go now, because a lot of their needs are like second, third round picks, just with the way the board is. I wonder if Graham's positional versatility lends to him being their favorite guy left. But with Guyton's upside and athleticism, I think it's tough to not strongly consider. So it's pretty much down to Barton or Guyton for me. I'm going to go Barton.
Yeah, I like it.
He can play a lot of different positions. Like I said, they lost their center. They lost their left tackle. I think he can come in and play those positions if they need him to, and he just seems like a cowboy to me.
That's fair. All right, which freak athlete am I taking here for the Packers? Which freak athlete's coming off the board? They need a left tackle, I'll tell you that right now.
Yeah, they do.
They're kind of SOL because there's no left tackles on the board. That said, do you think Tyler Guyton can play left tackle?
You think they would go Juzon Newton?
I don't know if I do. Yeah, but maybe. Yeah, but they run that weird. No, they need like a nose tackle because they got Devontae Wyatt. And they run that 3-4.
Yeah.
So Kenny Clark and Devontae Wyatt, they won't take him. They got Lucas Van Ness. Yeah, they got plenty of defensive linemen, I think. They're gonna do something weird, I feel like. I don't think they'll go corner yet. Although I love the idea of a corner here for them. It's gotta be offensive line. It has to be. Which guy do we think fits them better, if Guyton and Latham?
Probably Latham.
Let's see. It's an elite work right here. Gosh, dang it. Thank you. That is helpful. RAS.football. Michael Guyton, though, he's a freak. Also huge.
Either way, I think it would be a fine pick for them. If it fills a need, and there's
both guys there. I'm going to go Guyton. Oh, I think Latham's a better player right now, but they value the athlete.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they took Van Ness last year. They took both Georgia guys 2 years ago. I think they go with Guyton here. He's a better athlete.
All right. So, Guyton at 25 to the Green Bay Packers. 26, the Bucks are on the board. They obviously winning a playoff game, having a home playoff game last year. As bad as their division was, you're still winning a playoff game against the Eagles. And unfortunately, fell short in Detroit to the Lions in the divisional round. But I still think they're a really good team. They're built the right way. And their D-line balled out for them last year. A lot of guys that they took in later rounds. A lot of guys that they did spend a good bit of capital on. And it seems like all of them panned out for them. In terms of what direction they could go, you look at, they re-signed Mike Evans. They re-signed Baker to a 3-year deal, about 100 mil. I think 50 in the first year. So big time offseason for the Bucks. I don't remember if they made any other moves off the top of my head. I feel like they did. They franchise tagged Antoine Winfield.
Carlton Davis. They traded him to
the Lions. Where did
they move him to? Yes, the Lions.
Yeah, that's right. So I mean, they did lose a corner. In terms of corners, I'm not sure what direction they would want to go here. I know, just in terms of like round one fits. They could go Kool-Aid. They're honestly fine for the most part. Yeah, I'm gonna go Kool-Aid here.
You take a center. Yeah, I know. I like corner a lot.
I was looking at O-line, but I think they can wait on that.
Yeah, that's true. I like Kool-Aid here. You got Arizona back up at 27. It's an interesting one to me. So far, we've taken Latu, and we traded back up to get Roma Dunze.
It's looking good for them.
They could use it. They're going to go J.C. Latham. They need a tackle. No. Didn't they just sign a tackle?
They got Jonah Williams.
Yeah, duh. But is he going to play tackle for them?
I don't know.
Or is he going to play guard? They have him at left tackle in the Ireland's depth chart. But, yeah, I guess maybe they don't take a tackle. I'd say a receiver, but they like Michael Wilson and Greg Dortch a lot. back-to-back corners here. They signed Sean Murphy Bunting, but he's a – I mean, they could still use two corners. You know what I mean?
Do they – wait, don't – do they have their own – yeah, they have a second rounder, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so they – no, it wouldn't make sense here at 27. I can just wait.
I think I'm going to go with J.C. Latham.
All right.
Because unless you think they can go with Johnny and load up the D-line even more.
No, I think Latham would make sense. You can play Jonah at left guard.
This is tough, man. Because I don't know what they want to – what did they pay Jonah Williams, though? Let's look up Cardinals Jonah Williams. Because they may have said if they signed him to play tackle or not. Of course, it pulls up the defensive lineman Jonah Williams, not the tackle Jonah Williams. It's not a hard team to mock for because they have a lot of needs, but they could also do a lot of different things because they have so much capital, right?
Yep. I think you'd go corner here. I was thinking Frazier, but that was the guy I was thinking that they could wait on.
Yeah, let's go with Rakestraw. Let's go Rakestraw.
All right.
I think he's a first-round corner at the end of the day. He's a completely really good player, so let's go Rakestraw.
Yeah, I like it.
That's a tough team to mock for, especially when they had 23, too. That's a tough team to mock for.
So we are now at 28, Buffalo Bills, 5 picks left. Bills had an interesting season this past year, underperformed in a lot of ways. I know it seems like the way they've drafted for the most part has been front seven in the first round, like every year. But just with Trezon Newton there, I feel like it's tough to ignore. I know they need receiver. They lost Gabe Davis. They signed Curtis Samuel. Doesn't quite cancel out, but they could go receiver. I don't know how much they're going to like the receivers out of the top four, whether it's Troy or Adonai Mitchell. I'm between those guys or I'm between Newton.
I think AD immediately fills that role. They still have Ed Oliver, Daquan Jones. They re-signed Epinesa. Really, I really do think that they could go. They could wait on it. They won't even cycle depth. They can get one later. I think they can just take AD here because I think AD immediately replaces him. All right. And he's probably better.
I like it.
But yeah, that's what I think what they'll do. They have to get a receiver. So they're going to trade Diggs potentially. Like they have to get a receiver.
Yep.
I think AD makes the most sense for them.
Yeah. I like it. Like I said, I was between receiver or Newton. So the Lions are up 29. You got it.
Lions at 29 are interesting because they just signed DJ Reader. They got Aleem McNeil. I don't really know if there's an edge rusher I'd take here is the problem. So is there a team that wants to go get a receiver ahead of the Ravens? Or that wants Johnny Newton? Is there a team... Carolina wants to move up, I bet. Carolina would jump to get a receiver.
I could do that.
I think that's probably a fourth rounder, third rounder.
So 33 to 29. Right, it's
33 to 29.
60.
That's a four, yeah. Their four is worth 96. So maybe it's 96, and then Detroit sends their fifth rounder back. Yeah, I like that. That's almost even. I like that.
All right.
So 33 and 101 in exchange for 29 and 164. Yeah, I like that. And it's still my team here because they're not. I'm going to pick. Let me see who they currently have at receiver because it's between Troy and Ladd. It just depends on what the skill set that they want is here. Goodness gracious, there they are. I was going to say, where on earth did they go? Oh, they traded for Deontay, but they need receivers, dude. They need it so bad. Like, yeah. Adam Thielen ain't cutting it, brother. Like, he ain't cutting it. I'm going to go with Ladd. I think he fits the short area equipment to short throws they want to make. This is a bit of a hot take. They have to get a receiver. They have to get a big time playmaker. I think Ladd's worthy of a first round pick. And ultimately, I think he's going to fit them better than what they could have. And then Troy will ultimately, because I think they have a lot of what Troy does in Jonathan Mingo and Deontay Johnson. So I'm going to go with Ladd here.
I like it. It's a good fit for him. Help out Bryce Young in year two. Carolina, 30 with the Ravens. This is going to be J.C. Latham. Pretty easy pick for me.
Troy Franklin? Whoa. No.
I really like Troy, but they need a tackle badly. I think, you know, they trade away Morgan Moses. They do not have a right tackle right now. And they don't have a left guard or a right guard either. So I feel like as of now, I feel like you have to go round one offensive lineman, whether that's a guy like Barton or a tackle. I think that they should definitely go Latham if he's there. I think if you have, you know, tackle, if you have Troy, Latham, or Mims at 30 right now, I feel like they have to be the pick. I know they really like Jordan Morgan. They've held multiple private workouts with him, but I think if Latham's there, especially the Bama connection, I mean, the Ravens and Bama connection is as deep as any. So I think it would make a ton of sense on all levels.
That's fair. Niners up at 31, and they need a corner, but a lot of six corners have gone ahead of them. And there's not really an outside corner I'd take at 35. So my question now becomes, A, is there anyone that wants to get up and get Johnny, or do they just take Johnny? They signed Malik Collins to a pretty nice contract, so I don't know if they can take him here. But is there a team that would go up and get him, we think?
I think there's a chance. I mean, I think.
Or does the team, or does he just fall to round two? Because he might.
He could. Yeah, he could. I think, let's see, New England could.
They could just straight up take. Because do you think they trade Ayuk?
It seems like it from what I'm seeing.
Did they just take Troy Franklin here?
I don't know. I would go with what they have right now. I think.
Yeah, because they like Ronnie Bell a lot. They like Ronnie Bell.
Yeah.
They do.
I mean, they could go tough. In different directions.
I just don't think any of these guys are first rounders at corner because Ray Shaw went at 27.
Yeah.
Although, I mean, I'm not opposed to taking Mike Sanders still at 31.
No, I don't think that would be.
Just lost Chase Young, so maybe they signed Leonard Floyd though. Like they replaced the defensive line. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And they signed Devondre Campbell. Did they go offensive line here?
I know they need IOL. I think they got Feliciano back.
Let's take Frazier then.
Yeah, take Frazier. Frazier makes sense.
Go Frazier. You can play him at guard or center. Doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like
that. All right, rounding it out here with Kansas City. Another team that could go a few different directions. Le'Jarius Sneed's been in trade talks for a few weeks now. It seems like something was done a few days ago, still hasn't gone through. Not sure if it is. We'll see what happens with that. But with the Chiefs, they signed Hollywood Brown, so I don't think they have to take receiver in round one. They still need to take a receiver, no doubt, but I don't think they have to take one in round one as of now. I do think, they re-signed Chris Jones to a huge deal. Their D-line probably overperformed last year. I think they need another corner, but I don't want to go corner in the first again. They went corner with McDuffie a couple years ago. I don't know if they want to do that again. So, man, this is tough.
I think it's either corner or it's Troy Franklin. Well, I can see Troy going just falling around too because he's skinny. I mean, honestly.
Yeah.
What is their who does Casey have next to him? Next I like Derek Nottie, but could they I don't know if they're gonna take Johnny.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to. I don't think that's Chiefs pick, especially after paying Chris Jones. I think
they need a tackle, but they're kind of SO. Didn't they take Jordan Morgan and trample him at tackle?
They could. I mean, teams like him at tackle from what I've seen. Multiple teams really like him at tackle. I don't know if the Chiefs are one of those teams, but
right. So looking at the board here, like even who's left, like at least on my big board, like the best available player is that would definitely be Johnny, and then after that, it's probably Darius Robinson. So. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's up to you. Or I guess Troy Franklin's on pretty high on my board too. So, but again, you're the one making the pick here. So,
man, it's tough.
It is. It's hard.
They re-signed Tranquil. They re-signed Jones. I think they re-signed. Well, Menehu's coming off an injury. He tore his ACL in the championship game.
Yeah, true.
And I feel like if they took Darius here, he can play and switch out with Nottie and also, fill in an edge and really start an edge for the first 7 weeks because of Menehu with the injury.
I like that.
So I think Darius makes sense from a positional versatility. I think they give the Chiefs, kind of a 2-in-1 pick there with him being able to play.
I love that.
A 3 or wider.
I love that pick. I love that pick right there. I hate it because they get a good player, but I think that makes a lot of sense for the Chiefs, honestly.
Yeah.
Makes a lot of sense for the Chiefs. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it does make a lot of sense with them going to Hollywood. I don't think they have to take receiver, like I said. So I think that's the direction they go as of now. I think even next week we'll see a few different things going on. But
right.
Yeah, but that'll conclude our first mock draft here for the 2024 NFL draft. A lot of fun. I know we had a few trades in there. I think we had 3 or 4. Teams moving up and down, and most of the time teams were staying, but you see a lot of teams in here that have multiple needs, obviously, especially early. I know it's easy to pick quarterback, but there's a lot of other needs those teams have. So that's what makes the draft so fun, is because even beyond round one, there's a lot of really good fits, a lot of really good players left. And I thought we did a pretty good job with this one today. I don't know if there were really any surprising picks looking back or surprising fits just with the teams. I think the Bengals going up to 12 to take Tulisa Fuaga, I think, was an incredible get for them. Within range, doesn't really cost you a whole lot. I think Latu to the Cardinals at 23 is big for them from a fit and need standpoint. And then Darius to the Chiefs. I think Verse to the Jets makes a good bit of sense. And Cardinals going back up for Rome makes a lot of sense too. Yeah. So a lot of teams in here with good first rounds. And obviously, I'm going to think that because we did the mock, but I still think it's a good mock, even just talking about different things. We had quarterbacks go 1, 2, 3, 4, and then we didn't have another one. I just think it's kind of there's kind of some uncertainty around how teams feel about Penix, not in terms of medicals, because I think that's mostly been cleared up. That's still obviously a worry, though. But then also where teams value him over other positions of need. So I just think we prioritized other positions of need over taking a quarterback that, you know, might not play out his rookie contract due to injury, or, you know, doesn't have much more room to grow. I think there's something to be said about waiting on a quarterback for a lot of these teams rather than just trying to get a quarterback to fix your problems, because we see more times than not that doesn't work out for him. So that'll do it. I'll let you say anything you got to say, but that was a fun one. I know we're going to have one every week from here on out, but that one was a lot of fun.
Yeah, I mean, I found for myself, at least, it's hard when I started trying to mock like after like 15, because I just haven't done a lot of it. When your team's picking at 5, it's kind of easy to get tunnel vision on the top 10. And there's so many different ways this can play out this year. I kind of found myself looking at the talent gap at about 20. For sure, I think there is a talent gap at about 20, which kind of how it usually goes. I think there's a lot more blue chip talent to be had in the top 20, though, than there is in normal years. No, this is really fun. This is my favorite. It's a blast, man. It's awesome. Like a lot of the fits here, I think a lot of this could happen. I think it'd be fun to look back on draft night and see how much we got right. Looking back to last year's mock, we got picks 1 through 3 wrong. This is our first mock. We got 4 right. We got Will Levis is a Titan, but it was just a lot later.
Right.
A lot, like not at 9 in the trade up, but way later. Let's see. Lucas Van Ness did go to Iowa. Let's give some love for that one. Gosh, look at the rest of these. These are funny. These are crazy. With Baltimore trading down, I don't think we had a single another pick here. I think Osiris Torrance is a Buffalo Bill just a round later. Yeah, that was all we hit on the first mock. So a lot changed between mock 1 and mock 6 for us, for sure. Went to mock 6, we're a little more accurate, I think. Maybe not. We really were not that accurate in mock 6 either.
I feel like if we hit on, even if it's not in the right spot, like if we hit on like 5, I think that's a good mock. Anything more than 5 is pretty solid, but
yeah.
I want to try to get like 10.
We stuck to our guns on Lucas Van Ness being a Packer.
Yeah.
Stuck to our guns there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's a good one. I like it a lot. Yeah, I mean, this was fun. It's always a good exercise to do. It's always a fun one to do. And it's certainly one that we're going to keep doing for a while here. And yeah, this was an awesome time. Obviously listen, man, a lot's going to change. There's going to be a trade. There's going to be a trade. It's a 4 in the next month, I think. So really good time, though. Next week, we'll probably switch it up. I'll do evens. Brett will do odds. We'll see. We'll kind of play it by year and see how it goes. But it was an awesome one. Really fun to get back doing the mocks, and look forward to seeing how this changes over the next few weeks.
No doubt. Yeah, I mean, that's what's fun about the draft. Like I said, it's just how much can change day to day, week to week, as leading up to the draft. I mean, even during the draft, a lot of things happen, change, trades, signings, stuff like that. But this one was a little bit longer today because we had a ton of rankings updates, and then it's kind of our first mock, so we wanted to preface a lot of, you know, what teams are picking when, what they need. But I think next week will probably be a little bit quicker, just because we will have already previewed most of these guys. And then we'll see what we have for trades, but I think they'll definitely have a big impact on this year's draft, whether it's during the draft or before. Thank y'all for tuning in. That was the first one that we've done. Like I said, 5 more to go, with slightly different formats in each one. But like you said, next week we're gonna flop picks, same format. If we see a trade that makes sense, we'll carry it out. But that's it. We have an episode probably coming out later this week. Don't know what day yet. That'll just be covering, everything that's going on across the sports world. Not sure what we have on the slate for that, outside of the normal stuff. I know we're going to be starting covering college baseball, just with some big series previews, rankings changes, stuff like that, similar to college basketball with March Madness starting on Thursday. We'll give a March Madness preview. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you all in a few days.
See you guys then.